Hey, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Forest City North Church. We're a church in London, Ontario. And our hope is that this message that you're listening to will have an impact on your life. I encourage you to grab a coffee, make yourself a tea, sit back, and enjoy this message. Let's jump into our conversation on Thanksgiving. So last Monday, I got into my office and I sat down at my desk. And what was so beautiful about this moment was the sun was shining in through my window. And the sun coming right into my window, through my window of my office, it came right into my chair, and I was sitting there in the warmth of the sun coming in, and I was like basking in. I was just enjoying the moment. I was also reflecting on the fact that, 2 days prior to that, my oldest son got married. So last weekend, my oldest son said I do to someone in his life that he loves, and she captured his heart, she captured his imagination. He asked, she said yes, and then they said I do, and now they're married. And so I was sitting there reflecting on that and just living into that. Thank you for that. One person is actually excited. Some of you are like, is he old enough to have a kid that's married? I got married when I was 15, so. Anyway, so as I'm sitting there, though, with the reflection of the sun and enjoying just all that moment, I had a heaviness in my heart. Because on Monday morning, we all woke up to the horrible news of what happened in Vegas. Every one of us. We had our social media feeds blowing up. We had the news feed blowing up. And the count get higher and higher of the death count. And then the amount of people injured. And I literally sat at my desk with a heaviness. And I began thinking about this. And I began to realize how often our social media and our news feeds are filled with violence. Are filled with pain, death, racism, injustice. We have this constant feed, and as I watch this constant feed that comes into my social feed and my news feed as well, I begin to realize that it feels like it's chipping away at humanity. And we're left with a sense of heaviness. And we're going, what is going on? But I thought about this. It's not even just necessarily the external pressures that we feel. It's also the internal pressure we feel. We navigate through life and we begin to compile all these moments and situations and experiences that are filled with pain and filled with sorrow. We think about the debt load that we're under or the relational strife or the pressures of raising children. And we begin to reflect on our own lives and we ourselves begin to feel the heaviness just from our own situations and our own pain. And we go, what is going on? My brother came up from Halifax last weekend to be part of his nephew's wedding, to be there to witness it. And on Sunday night, my brother and I spent some time just sitting on my front porch. We see each other every few years. And he started filling in the pieces of a story that I know of and I was aware of a family that he's super close with. And he started telling me about the pain that this family's been facing. They've lost two sons in the matter of 5 months. One was 30 years old and one was 19. Their oldest son and their youngest son. I sat on the front porch of my house just filled with sorrow for this family and the pain inside. See, I think what's happening sometimes to us, and I know it's not the greatest way to start a Thanksgiving conversation, but I think it's a truth and a reality that we're facing now and like never before, an incredible, consistent news feed of horrible news and conflicting news, and oftentimes we're left asking the questions, what is going on? Who's going to fix this? Where's this all going? See, the concern I have as I reflected on this on Monday morning is that for us as human beings, it's slowly chipping away at us. It's slowly chipping away at our hearts and our souls and our minds. That it's getting to the point where we're getting closed off. Our hearts are becoming hardened, our minds are becoming callous, or whatever it might be. Or it's closing us off to one another. And my biggest fear is that it will close us off to God. See, when this constant feed of negativity and sorrow and pain and violence and all that continues to bombard us, it chips away at us. I began thinking through this a little bit from a different angle, and as I was sitting in the sun in my office, I began asking my question, how do we get through this? How do we get through times like this? How do we get through difficult news like this? Jesus teaches this in the Gospel of John, that we are going to face trials and difficulties in this life. He tells us that straight up. It's not a secret. And until his return, we're going to continue to experience these things. And so the question needs to be asked, how do we push through it so that our hearts don't become closed off to one another and to God? How do we get through this so that we don't become less of what God designed us to be? As I was reflecting on that question, you know where I landed? I landed on gratitude. I realized in that moment sitting there reflecting on this that the one of the answers to the question of how we get through times like this is to find moments of gratitude, that we need to pull up to the table of gratitude. I'm convinced that that's part of the answer to the question that we face. How do we get through this? It's this thing called gratitude. And that gratitude is not something, I love what Kath said in her prayer, it's not just something that we do once a year on a weekend, but that gratitude becomes part of our lives, that it becomes who we are, that we pull up to the gratitude table on a regular basis and are just filled with gratitude and reflection. I looked up the word gratitude, and what I discovered in the Hebrew, it literally means to recognize the good, to recognize the good. I find so often in life, it's hard to recognize the good. We get so consumed with life and ourselves. You know, before we know it, we are more leaning into negative thoughts and negative patterns. And we don't recognize the good. And our eyes get unfocused and life gets blurry. We see this when we get to work and people, the way they talk and the way they interact, and you can see how maybe you even start conversations and how you got to work that morning. You know, the traffic was terrible, the kids are rotten. That person's Facebook page, yeah, right, I wish I could have their life. And before you know it, we're not recognizing the good. We're pulled in a different direction. As I thought about the definition of gratitude, and I began to realize how important gratitude is to get us through these times and these seasons of our lives, I realized that the Bible teaches very clearly on this. That when you look at the Bible, there's this beautiful thread of gratitude and thankfulness. That the Bible calls us to a posture of gratitude, to recognize the good in life. I want to take you to a passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And this is a writing of a guy named the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to the early church, and he's giving them some advice on how to live their faith, and he gives them some final advice, and he says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always tries to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Paul's writing to this early church, and he's speaking directly to them to help them understand that God has called them, and in turn us, has called us to live lives that are good towards others, to all people, and that we are to be a joyful, prayerful, thankful people. And what he speaks so clearly about is that we are to be thankful because this is God's plan for us. I mean, we can glance over these verses and we kind of go, oh, that's kind of nice and kind of cool, but what the truth is that God's desire for each and every one of us are to be people who sit at the gratitude table on a regular basis so that we become people of gratitude. He's speaking directly to them. Now notice what he says in this small verse. Thankful in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. That little word switch there is important for us. Because sometimes we get super confused when we read things like this. Are we supposed to be thankful for this pain, for this struggle, for this difficulty, for this relational strife? No, we're not thankful for it, but we can be thankful in it. The "in all circumstances" literally means the totality of the situation or the totality of the person in the midst of that circumstance. So it's within it that we find it. The circumstances, here's the thing. Gratitude is not based on our circumstances. It's a choice we make. Think about that for a moment. That gratitude is not circumstantial. It's a choice that we make. But how opposite is that true in our lives? We allow our circumstances to dictate our gratitude. A few weeks ago, I went into a period of time in my journey, in my faith journey, where I started struggling. And I every once in a while, I'm transparent with you as a community and just in my own faith journey and my leadership and everything. And I started struggling with some things related to the church, for our church. And some things that were going well and not going well, and it was starting to overwhelm me. And what I began realizing was that the circumstances of what I was seeing was dictating my level of gratitude. And it really pulled me down. I mean, maybe you experience this too. Maybe you can look at your life. You do a panoramic. Take your phone out and do a panoramic like this around your life, for those of you who do that. And you're going, yeah, my circumstances, they suck, you know? My kids are lousy. My boss is lousy. My spouse is lousy. You know? If you're sitting beside them, don't look at them. Someone just got an elbow in the ribs. And you kind of go, yeah, my finances are lousy. My job prospects are lousy. And before you know it, your circumstances are dictating your gratitude. One of the things I've fully realized as Paul writes this is he speaks directly to us. He says, listen, it's not about your circumstances that dictate your gratitude. Gratitude is a choice you make. Be thankful in all circumstances, within the context of it, within the nature of it. No matter what it may be, we can find gratitude in the midst of it. Choosing gratitude helps us pull through these times. Choosing gratitude keeps our hearts, protects our hearts, protects our souls, protects our minds. And it, just like pulling up to a table and getting a beautiful meal, it nourishes us, it fills us. But so often, the circumstances dictate the gratitude level. I was pondering this and thinking, well, why do we get pulled to allowing our circumstances to dictate our gratitude? And I realize it's human nature sometimes. You know, there's this little thing, and I shouldn't say it's a little thing. It's actually a big thing once I'm going to say it. The Bible teaches us that we, when we are born, we are separated from God. We got a heart condition called sin. We don't like to talk about sin a lot these days, but sin separates us from God. And so we're born with this condition, separated from Him. And when that particular part of our lives, that natural part of what we're born into, begins to take control of our lives, it leans us away. The posture is discouraging and selfishness, and it pulls us away to view life through that lens. And what happens is when we lean in that direction, the circumstances dictate our gratitude, and we step back and we go, oh man, it's not the circumstances. God calls me to choose, decide with purpose and intentionality a posture of gratitude. And in that, I can go through. Now, let me say this to you. I'm not saying bury your head in the sand with your situation. I'm not saying that you kind of just shrug your shoulders and walk away from whatever you're facing, because I know some of us are facing some deep, dark stuff right now. And your circumstances are tough. They are difficult. You're overwhelmed with it. But you can choose gratitude in the midst of it. You can pull up to the table and choose it with intention and purpose in your life. The reason why I can say that is because when I entered into that season where I was allowing the external circumstances to dictate my gratitude, what I began doing was I began to write the things I was grateful for. I know this sounds so ridiculous and like SK-like, senior kindergarten-like. But I got to tell you, I have a chair in my office. I wish you could see my office at home. I have a chair that I sit in every single morning. and I have my Bible. I've got my Bible reading plan. I pray in that seat. I reflect in that seat. I meditate in that seat, in that chair. And what I began doing was I began to journal the things I was grateful for. I realized that I had to make a decision. I can't allow this to happen to dictate this. And so I literally sat and I started writing. There's something powerful about watching words come out the end of a pen. I know for some of you, you're like, what is that? Like, what? I'm sounding really old now. Now you're going like, now I know why he's got a kid that's married. He's that old. You know, like he's actually writing stuff. But there is this ancient form of taking a pen and paper and just starting to write. God, I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for. And it pulled me into that space up to the table, and everything began to change. Gratitude is recognizing that it's a choice we make. Now, there's another piece of this that I think is super important to understand this morning, and it comes from another writing of the Apostle Paul. Another writing, actually, to another group of Christians in Colossians. Listen to what this says. It says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. I wrote this down. Gratitude is the recognition that all good things come from God. Gratitude is recognizing that all good things come from God. This passage here speaks so clearly to this wonderful truth that God, through Jesus, pours out his grace on us. That is through his grace and his goodness through the person of Jesus that he fills our lives with all the richness of his grace. That Jesus is the one that actually offers to us life, that he offers to us meaning, that he offers to us this path of restoration to God. That we don't have to pay this price. We don't have to do enough good things to earn God's favor. But because of the grace of God, he offers it to us. This undeserved action that God offers to us. He says, I give you this. So recognizing that this beautiful gift comes down to us, we must reflect that all good things come from him. I think that this is the message that the world needs to hear today. This is a message our world desperately needs to know. We live in a time and an era, and I was just talking with someone this week at a coffee shop about this, where they reflected, where is this all going? Where is all this pain going? It doesn't feel like we have a solid foundation anymore. It doesn't feel like we have an anchor in our lives. And I believe that this message of the fullness and the richness that God calls us to be thankful through to God because of who Jesus is the recognition that God offers us his grace and his goodness. And even though we don't deserve it, and even though he should probably just turn his back on us, he reaches out to us and is extending to us his goodness and his grace to fill us with all richness. Not partially, not just from the halfway point, but full, complete goodness of God. Now, here's the problem with this. Is that I think too often we can't move towards gratitude and reflection of the goodness of God coming to us because most of us, and many of us, and me included, we often walk through life thinking that God owes us, that I deserve this, that I got enough good things I've done, of course God loves me, right? Of course he does. Look at my life. I got some really good things going on here and here. You know, I've got some good motion going with this faith thing. And then we get into this space where we live with an entitlement of God's grace. We begin looking at our lives and we go, I've worked super hard what I have. I've got all this. Look at my accomplishments. Look what I've been able to attain and the stockpile of the things that I have. Look what I have done. And yeah, maybe you have worked hard. And maybe you've worked long hours. But it still comes back to the gratitude table where we reflect on this and recognize that even God has given you the ability to do what you do. as hard as you work, that he's poured it out on you. There's this book by John Ortberg called Soul Keeping. And he speaks about entitlement in this book and how entitlement actually keeps us from gratitude to God. And look at this quote. This quote is powerful. He says, "Entitlement grows deep within us. This is why, for the soul, ingratitude is not just a psychological problem or an impoverishment of our emotional experience. It's sin. If we go through life believing that God owes us, it's sin," he says. "The only way that we can pull up to the gratitude table this Thanksgiving is with humility. Is with humility, acknowledging that all good things come from God." James talks about this in James chapter 1, where he says, all good things come down from God. There's this reflection in our lives where we get to the place where we recognize this wonderful, beautiful truth, and he pulls us up close. I was thinking about this, and that all good things come, and how do you live with gratitude? And I began reflecting on our family and the times that we have around the kitchen table. Ever since our boys were little, we would always pray at dinner time. Now, it's easy to fall into the trap of saying, praying, okay, you're obligated to pray at dinner. It's kind of the religious thing to do and blah, blah, blah. That's not what we did. We would actually sit at the table and we would pray, thanking God for his goodness in our lives, because we were trying to train and teach our boys that all good things come from God. Even to this day, when our guys are home and their girlfriends are there, and actually, now one's a wife, but anyway, when she's there, I actually look around the table and say, are we thankful? And each and one of them says, yes, I'm thankful. Yes, I'm thankful. See, I think the important piece of this weekend in gratitude and recognizing the good is to understand this beautiful truth that when we live this way, it actually draws us closer to the presence of God in our lives. That there's something that supernatural that happens when we pull up to the gratitude table, where we pull up and we do it with purpose and intention, where we pull up recognizing that all good things come from God, and that when we pull up to the table, we experience more of the presence and the power of God in our lives. If you've got little kids, ever have your little one run up to you and thank you for something you've given them? And you didn't ask them or tell them they needed to say thank you? There's that closeness and the intimacy in that moment, and the same is true for us with God. Gratitude is recognizing the good, but more powerful, it's drawing us closer to the presence of God in our lives. So this morning, as we begin to wrap this conversation up, I want to ask you, have you opened up your life to let Jesus in? Have you allowed his goodness and his grace to fill you with all richness? I'm convinced this morning that there are some of us here today listening to my voice that have never opened up your life to Jesus before. And I want to challenge you this morning. I want to encourage you this morning. Don't put it off any longer. Don't come up with all the excuses. Don't worry about what's next. Today, will you humbly come to the gratitude table and acknowledge your need for him? Will you do that? Others of you here this morning have maybe fallen into the trap of going through your faith journey, believing that you're entitled to the things that you have, and you've forgotten and neglected to come to the table and say, God, I'm thankful for all the good things that you give me. You've adopted an entitlement, and I ask you today, will you come to the table with humility and just sit there going, God, I recognize that my life is what it is because of you. I didn't see this coming. I walked away from my son's wedding last weekend, my wife and I, Desiree. Sorry. Maybe we should just start singing now. I don't know. Before the wedding, My wife and I took our two boys, they're grown men now, and we stood in our bedroom and we held hands. And we just prayed over our oldest son who's getting married that day. At the end of the night, it was super late. Climbed into bed at 1 a.m. and I'm lying there. I'd had too much coffee, so I couldn't sleep. And I'm lying there and I was like overwhelmed. The next day, my wife and I were reflecting and we were just overwhelmed with gratitude to God for what he's doing in our lives and our family. We're so grateful for our sons. We're told that we are to love our children. We actually like ours as well. But I guess this morning, I just really feel compelled to just challenge you and encourage you to pull up to the table. As difficult as it is, as hard as it may be, just scooch the chair up and sit down. This week, what I want you to do, I'm going to give you some practical things. What I want you to do is I want you to, every morning this week, before you get out of bed, you wake up and you hit the snooze button. I want you this week, every morning for the next 5 days, I want you to start a gratitude list. Before you reach for your phone, before you reach for your computer, your laptop, whatever it is, I want you to just start a gratitude list. God, I'm grateful for, I'm grateful for, I'm grateful for. And watch and see his hand at work as you develop that list. I want you to take your cards out. Because we're going to start today. Some of you are like, yes, we can start Monday. I want you to take this. We're actually going to give you a moment to start filling this out. I just want you to write, God, I'm grateful for. And I want to say this to you. If today you open up your life to Jesus, I just want you to write, I'm grateful for Jesus in my life. And you just write it down and then just start the list. If you run out of space, flip it over. It's blank. Amazing, eh? Just start writing. Take a few moments to do that right now as we end our service. All right. This morning as you leave this space, we actually have a gratitude table outside those doors. And what we want you to do is we would encourage you to. We'd love for you to do. Is as you leave, just throw that gratitude card on the table as a symbolism of your gratitude to God for what he's doing in your life. I recognize this morning that there are some of us here that are early in our stage of journey of faith. And maybe you're here for the very first time and you're a guest this morning with someone. I want to encourage you with something. There is a God who loves you deeply and desires to be part of your life. He wants to walk with you. He wants to give you hope. He wants to give you life. I want to invite you back next week as we begin the brand new series called No Fear. It might be the best thing that you've ever done in investing in your faith journey is come back next week as we gather together to explore this No Fear series. I also want to say this to you this morning. Kath had mentioned Alpha. If it's resonating inside of you and you want to do it, I would say go for it. It will probably be the best 10 weeks of your journey of faith to step into that moment. You can sign up at the next step, or you can just show up on Tuesday night. I hope on Tuesday night we run out of food. Don't tell the leaders that, because there's free food. It'd be great if we ran out, but don't tell the leaders I said that. Let's say a prayer together. God, we thank you for today. This has been an action-packed 60 minutes of a service. God, I thank you for your work in our lives. I thank you for your work in our church and in our community, in our city, in our region. God, we come before you today recognizing and surrendering that all good comes from you. We thank you for that. We thank you this morning that you are a God who loves us enough that you sent your Son to die on a cross for us, to conquer sin and death. That this beautiful truth of the empty tomb, this truth emerges inside of us, that you are resurrecting us, that you're bringing us back to life. And so we thank you for that. God, we give you this day. We give you this moment. We give you our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you next week.